السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Now we open the floor for any of your questions if you have any. Yes, أخي.
Sheikh, I have a question related to the point you made about keeping and maintaining dogs. One quick question, what is your opinion on dog kennels? A kennel is sort of like an orphanage for dogs wherein you have a setup and you, whenever a person finds a stray dog, you take it to the kennel. This is only a place for dogs and you have people appointed to take care of the dogs. So rather than letting the dogs suffer on the street, you have a place where you actually take care of the dog, feed the dog. There are no humans. It's a place exclusively for dogs. So what is your opinion on having a setup or an institute like this?
Well, if it is for the common good and if it is to give dogs that are helpful for people who need them to hunt or to guard their farms or to shepherd their herds, this is inshallah permissible. But if it's there just for form of luxury or selling it to whoever wants to adopt it, as we see, no, this is not recommended to do. And Allah knows best.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Is there any recommended thing for a cat that we should keep it as pet? As most of the families are keeping cat as considering as a prophetic tradition.
It is not a prophetic tradition per se that the Prophet ﷺ did not keep a cat, but there was a cat that used to come in and out from his house. And whenever it came, the Prophet used to ﷺ give it water. So it is permissible to keep a cat, to raise a cat, and to keep it in your house. There's no problem in that at all, and no sin in that. It's permissible. But no one would be encouraged to say that this is sunnah. So you come to my house and say, where is your cat, Sheikh? So I don't have any. So, oh, you're missing a sunnah. You're not a good Sheikh. No, this is not a sunnah. The Prophet did not recommend it, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is why it is extremely important to know the difference between sunnah of adah and sunnah of ibadah. The sunnah is divided into two types. Sunnah that is in accordance to the traditions of the Arabs. So this is not rewardable. Such as the Prophet ﷺ used to ride the mule. So tomorrow you take the mule to go to your office. And what are you doing? He said, oh, this is sunnah. No, it's not. This is a tradition of the Arabs. The way the Prophet used to wear the cloaks, these are customs of the people of the Arabs at the time. So these are tradition. You have no reward in doing them. There is sunan ibadat or ibadah, which is the Prophet told you to do and he did it himself. And this is something rewarded. So for example, if someone puts the right hand on the left on the chest, this is ibadah. If I want to pray like this, it's permissible, your prayer is valid, but you have missed a sunnah that you would be rewarded for. Growing the beard is an ibadah, it's a must. It's not something that you may or you may not, because the Prophet said, alayhi salam, go against the Jews, go against the Christians and the fire worshippers. And he said four or five words that mean to be an order. Therefore, you have to follow them and you will be rewarded for doing that. So we have to differentiate this and that, and Allah knows best.
As-salam. Can I shoot a game with a poisoned arrow?
If it penetrates the game, the animal or the bird, whether it's poison or not, the penetration itself is permissible. Now, putting poison into it, I would believe that it would make the animal poisonous as well. So you will not be able to eat it. Therefore, it is definitely harmful and not advisable. And having said that, people may shoot or kill animals for the fun of it. This is haram. This is not permissible. It is forbidden to take a living animal or bird as a target, just to do target shooting. People may do this to eat from the animal or from the bird. This is halal and there's nothing wrong in that, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Alaikum salam.
Can we put a bird in a cage inside our house?
The question is, are we permitted to keep birds or other animals for entertainment in cages in our houses? And the answer is yes, providing you feed and water and take care of that animal or that bird. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to visit the house of Anas, and Anas tells us, as in Sahih al-Bukhari and elsewhere, that he had a brother called Aba Umair. And the Prophet would come and visit Abu Umair, a 4-year-old child approximately, who had a bird in a cage. And the bird is a Nughair. A Nughr is a bird. The Prophet used to joke with this child when the bird died and he was sad. And he would say, Aba Umair, ماذا فعل النغير? And he used to joke and kid with him and humor him. So scholars say that it is permissible to keep a bird in a cage or to keep fish in an aquarium or to keep any other pet that is halal to keep, providing you take care of it. Why? Because in Sahih al-Bukhari and elsewhere, the Prophet tells us that a woman was admitted to hellfire because she had a cat that was kept until it died out of starvation. Neither the woman fed the cat nor set the cat free to eat from the insects. So this kind of treatment for animals is very dangerous. If you keep a pet and you don't feed that pet, you will end up in the same situation. May Allah protect us. Alaykum As-salam.
People who sell dogs, will 2 kirat of good deeds deducted from their deeds?
No. Selling dogs is prohibited. Keeping dogs that are not legitimate to keep will deduct 2 kirat from your good deeds. But selling dogs, it's by itself, it's prohibited, and it's not like keeping dogs. The price, the value that you get for selling the dogs is haram for you. You cannot take it or keep it.
As we mentioned that using dog for guarding the farm is halal. So can we relate this to keeping dogs to guard our homes?
Yes, the scholars say that if a person needs dogs to guard their homes and they are actual good dogs that guard the homes and there is a need to guard your home, this is permissible. But when it is not, there is no need. For example, if you live in a flat, yeah, what would the dog do to you? You're living in an apartment. Yes, it's understandable to have a dog if you live in a big house or a big mansion. And likewise, if there is no prior crimes committed in the neighborhood, there's no reason to fear. Why would you bring a dog? And thirdly, the dog has to be a real vicious and strong protection dog, not a chihuahua, for example. And say, I'm keeping this to protect my house. Protect for your house, this is a mouse in the shape or form of a dog. No, this is not permissible.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
My question is that in a chicken shop where they sell chicken, they cut many chickens at a time. So for cutting every chicken, they have to say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And if they cut 10 chickens at a time, they have to do it fast. So they do have to repeat every time they cut or slaughter a chicken, or only once.
Is it done manually or automatically by machines?
Manually.
If it's manually, every single chicken you have to say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Every single chicken you slaughter, you have to say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Sometimes there would be slaughterhouses that are automatic in the sense that it's like an assembly line and every 100 chicken at the time, they're brought and put in line and with one button, the machine slaughters the 100 at the same time. This button you press, if you say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar and you press it, this does the job. But if it's a machine that works one by one, so chicken come and the head is chopped, another one, a head is chopped, a third one, it's not sufficient to say in the very beginning of operating it, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, then you open the newspaper and it's happening. No, it has to be with everyone. So if it's automated and the press of a button, number of chicken or animals, and this press of the button is at once, and you say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, this is okay. But to turn on the machine at 8 o'clock in the morning, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you turn it off, killing 1,000 or 5,000 chickens, only the first one is halal. And the rest is considered to be haram
in India, hunting is not allowed, but Islamically it's allowed, so can we still hunt?
As stated before, whenever something is halal and the laws of the country prohibits it, then you have to abide by the law, because they did not order you to do something haram and they did not forbid you from doing something that is mandatory. So hunting by itself, what's the ruling on it? It's halal. So they didn't tell you do something haram. They didn't tell you eat pork. I will not eat pork. Even if the law says you have to eat pork, no, I will not eat pork. It's haram. And they did not make you stop doing something that is obligatory. So I'd like to go and pray in the masjid. The law say, no, you can't pray in the masjid. Why can't I pray in the masjid? There's nothing logical about it. They tell you, you must not be kind to your mother. This is mandatory upon me. So I do not listen to them. I do not obey them when it comes to disobeying Allah. If they tell me, do not do something that's mandatory, I will not listen. If they tell me you have to do something that's prohibited, I will not listen. But if they tell me not to do something that is permissible, I have to obey them. If they say, don't drive, or drive on the left instead of driving on the right, this is not mandatory and that's not forbidden. It is permissible to obey as long as you are living in this country. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.